You're listening to the Straight Talk Podcast with your boy, Ricardo Montgomery, a.k.a. The Voice of Gospel Radio. Thank you so much for taking time out to tune into this podcast. We got a great show lined up for you, so sit back, relax, enjoy. We're going to have some jokes. We're going to talk about some serious stuff. But more importantly, we're going to give all the information we can to you. Thank you so much for tuning in to us, and we're coming up right here with the latest in the Straight Talk Podcast.
Right now. I've been trying not to go off the deep end. Give me a reason. I've been trying not to
stay on point. I've been trying to speak my voice, but y'all gave me no choice. The world gone mad, can't ignore this noise. Look at these people found dead in the streets. I got some partners that hate the police. Me, I'm just trying to hold on to my peace, cause I'm liable to lose it and go get the peace. I need a reason, I need a season. Feeling with Jesus, all of this grieving. They be like, if you and what you believe in. I do not trip, I keep it cheap. What in the H you say in the I? Ain't no JK when I'm talking to God. Don't need a reason to open my eyes. If I'm still breathing, I'm running for mine, man. Yeah, I've been doing better than I was before. I walk with the limp cause I've been wrestling with the Holy Ghost. Deep in the spit, but still somehow I keep on floating on. Thought I lost my grip, but God reminded me it's holy on.
Go off the deep end. Give me a reason. I've been trying not to go off the deep end. Give me a reason. I've been trying not
to. I might go crazy, I might go MJ back in the 80s, back in the 90s, I might go off, or they better not try me, it might get dicey, I ain't tryna go back to the old me, I'm tryna hang on like my mama told me, sometimes legs get weak and your arms give out and you sink to the bottom slowly, a grown man wishing that somebody hold me, never knew my daddy so nobody show me, taught me how to walk through the storm when your heart feel heavy and it's hard and you feeling lonely, but low key, high priest got the keys to the kingdom, high key low enough to bring him, and I need all of what he bringing, I might go off the deep end, I just need another reason, yeah. I've been doing better than I was before. I walk with the limp cause I've been wrestling with the Holy Ghost. Deep in the spit, but still somehow I keep on floating on. Thought I lost my grip, but God reminded me it's holy on.
Go off the deep end. Give me a reason. I've been trying not to go off the deep end. Give me a reason. I've been trying not to.
Who welcome? That's right, we got that Lecrae. Go get that new album from Lecrae. It's called Restoration. Man, it is available right now. This is that deep end, man. And I'm telling you, you're on Straight Talk with your boy Ricardo Montgomery, a.k.a. The Voice of Gospel Radio. Hands down, man, this is going to be a show that is you're going to want to sit down, turn the volume up, and listen very carefully. Because I got C.W. Dawson coming in today. He's going to help me. I'm going to be honest with y'all. He's going to help me because there's some things going on in this world today that kind of shook me. You know, and my faith in God is strong, but it shook me. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things going on. We're going to talk about what's going on in Wisconsin. We're going to also talk about what's going on at Liberty University. And I am just amazed. Kudos to the kids for playing high school football. But I'm amazed that we have these young kids out here playing football. I know we want to get things back to normal, but I'm just not in agreement of this high school football season. I don't think we need to be playing it, but that's just my opinion. And I hope that you all understand where I come from in that, because I think safety for our kids should be priority number one. But I'm going to move on from there because I got a lot of other things I want to get into today. I got some, I'm going to kick y'all off with some Clark Sisters this afternoon. I'm on my days all over the place. I'm so fired up. We're going to kick y'all with some Clark Sisters. So we'll be right back with more Straight Talk with Ricardo Montgomery coming up. Got a great show lined up for y'all. See y'all in a little bit.
What's up, everybody? I'm Dorinda Clark Cole, and you are listening to my voice, Ricardo Montgomery. Right here, y'all keep it locked. That's some more music.
His love is everlasting, surpass all understanding. sometimes we cry and we don't know why. And we fail, but we never try. And life gets overwhelming. But when I am in doubt, I trust that He'll work it out. His love surpasses understanding. His love lasts forever. Hey, even when you feel like giving up, joy comes in the morning. His love is everlasting.
Love is everlasting.
Giving honor, God, Heavenly Father, I'm moving to your spirit, control every part of my life and all the drama, even through the pain, even through the problems, I'ma still praise your name. I got a little testimony, wanna tell you about it. Devil tried to bring me down, knock me off the mountain. I told my mom about it, she just started singing, shouting. Said my blessings coming soon, flowing like a fountain. Your faith stronger through your trials and your tribulations. But give it all to God, a little time, a little patience. Name it, claim it, your joy coming in the morning time. Keep this on your mind, even on your grind. Take Him with you everywhere you go to keep your soul fed. She rubs some blessed oil on my forehead. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, take control, make Him whole. Joy coming full force.
Welcome back. Straight Talk with Ricardo Montgomery, a.k.a. the voice of Gospel Radio, right here with you. On this day, the Lord has made, we really rejoice to be glad in it. On the line with me, y'all, I got to jump into the subjects, man, because I am fired up today. I don't know what it is. It's just something about what's going on in the world right now that's got me going. And the only person I know that can help me get my Christian mind around some of these things to where I don't lose my craziness is the man, the myth, the legend. C.W. Dawson, how you doing today, young man?
I'm doing well today. I'm much better. Even though I'm going through the Benjamin Button stage, you know, I'm trying to get younger. My arthritis in my wrists and my hands reminded me that, no, that's not the right natural process. So, I'm doing better today. I haven't been able to drive. I haven't been able to write. Any of that, because I'm right-handed, and it rested in my right hand and my right wrist. So, you know, that's one of the things. Betty Davis, the great actress, once said that getting old is not for sissies.
you
got to be willing to deal with some stuff. So I thank God that I'm better today. I'm much better.
Well,
and thank you for this opportunity, man.
I'm glad to have you, man. And you know what, man? Racking my brain about who can I talk to that's going to keep it 100 with me and ain't going to sugarcoat nothing and give the people what they want to hear at the same time, still uplift them. You was the person that you was one of the few that I knew that can help me in this situation. So I'm going to dive into it, man, because it's just mind-boggling to me. First thing is just the unrest that's going on in Wisconsin. We all know what happened, and I understand, let the process be the process. But what's ailing me is that the governor of that state wanted to bring in 250 National Guard men and women to help patrol, ease overnight, you know, unrest.
Right.
Now, then you have these militants or these vigilantes that wanted to come in and patrol as if, I mean, it's their constitutional right, I get it, but if we have police and National Guardsmen out there, why do we need this group of people to go antagonize the peaceful protesters, or even the ones that, I understand you have a few that get out there and they want to destroy stuff, but that's what the police is there for. That's sure. what they're there for. That's what the National Guard came for. But now you have this group of people that's going to just turn that knob up just a little bit, because the minute they see them, some people that are peaceful aren't going to be peaceful anymore, because they're going to feel threatened, because sure. now you got just a citizen just like I am out here trying to dictate to me what I can and can't do. Right. So that's, it's going to make it even worse. So I don't understand. Now we have this 17-year-old kid who allegedly shot three people. Two are dead, and this kid has been arrested. And news now is that this kid was a former police cadet at a police program in Illinois, and you know, he's just it's just mind-boggling to me how all these things have just intensified instead of calming down.
Well, first of all, you and I both know, and all of the listeners know, that racism did not start with Mr. Trump.
That's true.
It's been with us at least, well, actually more than 400 years. Our experience of it has been 400 years in the United States. But before us, it was the racist treatment of Native Americans, indigenous folk. What we are experiencing, though, I think is a fanning of division that happened when before Trump became president. Remember, he was, and Melania, bless her heart, fanned the fires with the birther thing about whether or not President Obama was really an American and was born in blah, 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 blah. So his presence has intensified an already fragile relationship. One is that most Black people I know do not trust the police, period. I was sharing with a group of people that the difference in your upbringing as a white person and mine is that when we were sitting in class, you all looked at each other while the teacher told the story of how the policeman is our friend. And you were grinning. Pookie and Charlie and I were looking at each other going, sure, that's not my neighborhood. And so there's always been and of course, because you and I and all of us know that policing in America started with slave catchers, that they were the first, quote, police and trying to defend the law of slavery. And then they evolved into what we have now in policing. So I listened to the woman, for instance, from South Carolina, because I've been listening to both the conventions. And if you listen carefully to the Republicans, they are fanning the fire of distrust, unrest, rebellion, revolt.
Yeah, yeah, because they're using, I've been watching some of it too, they use the lingo of what is it?
Law and order.
Law and order. That's it. Law and order. And yep. and protecting the suburbs and all these things. It's just keywords right. that they use throughout. And it's so sad, because when you're watching it, you feel as if not only you as a person, but then also in your Christianity. It's like, well, I thought, you know, this was America. I thought it was in God we trust. But it looks like.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, first of all, the white evangelical church has never supported rightly racial justice. You think about it, for instance, I think they're still my friends, but one of the largest Anglo church here in town. And we did a course on Divided by Faith. And what I presented was the fact that there's a long history of the white church being on the side of maintaining the status quo and not change. You remember Martin Luther King during the era said that the biggest problem was gradualism, that you talk to many, many Anglo folks out of that mindset and they'll say, well, we're better than we used to be. It's just going to take time. Well, how much, James Baldwin said, how much time you need? You have my time. I'm 60 years old. You had my grandma's time, my grandpa, my great grand. How much time do you need? And that the Anglo Church wants to maintain the status quo. They don't want to be part of kind of systemic change, because one, it threatens them. When we're talking about majority of evangelical churches, we're talking about a whole lot of money. And let's face it, that the economic system of the United States was based on the backs of slavery, the black folk, that literally we built this country and we built the economic system that they benefit from. So to challenge that is to challenge their own money. And you know, brothers and sisters on the streets, and so we could pray and we can kind of sing songs similar, and we can listen to a show like yours and you and Elder Wilson in the mornings. We can celebrate that, but when you start talking about changing a system in which I'm benefiting, no, that's the wrong Jesus.
You said it right there. That's true, because with even just trying to maneuver and looking at the evangelical church and the things that they're doing, it's all about, I hate to say it, but it seems like it's all about money. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, because you look at, I'm going to bring him up, you know, Farnwell Jr. He's getting $10 million to leave after, you know, multiple scandals at Liberty University.
Right.
And this guy, you know, it's mind-boggling me, because it just kind of shakes your faith. And you look at it and you're like, this Christian church who's teaching Christian values has this leader. And I understand that, you know, he has, you know, he's not perfect. I'm not trying to make him perfect, but.
Right, sure.
But this leader who's, you know, in the midst of a lot of different things, dealing with, you know, he had dealings with Michael Cohen, you know, not trying to, you know, but, you know, just scandalous, just some people that has been a little sketchy. You can communicate who you want to communicate with. I mean,
sure, some people may say,
some people may say me talking to you is, I'm a little shaky.
Sure, of course.
But to see that this man gets that amount of money, and knowing, like, for us, let's say in our community, if a preacher, you know, preached the wrong message on Sunday, he can viably lose his whole church. You know, and that's just where it just, like, it just kind of throws things off for me, because it's like, how could one thing be this extreme and it's Christian, then another thing could be over here, and it's just black and white, and it's like over here it could be to this extreme, and because he's African American, he can lose it all and be embarrassed for the rest of his life. This guy can lose it all and get $10 million and still move on with life and not even be embarrassed, probably get another opportunity to do something else somewhere else in 6 months.
Yeah. Well, most churches, well, let's go back. Most African American pastors, unless they're in huge churches, have to fight every Sunday to keep their pulpit, period. One is that as the black church, we do not generate the kind of money that the Anglo church does. And I think we have made a mistake. I think that our theology, we've too often copied the theology of the white church instead of maintaining what I believe to be an authentic black theology. For instance, the authentic black theology from the black church is always been protest. That because we knew we were a people born in struggle, and we knew because of our faith that what we were being told was wrong. We were not less human than anybody else. We were not a threat to be used in the society. I mean, look at Columbia, man, that most of the older established white churches in Columbia have a balcony. That balcony was there so that when white worshipers could come to church, they could put their slaves in the balcony because they couldn't be on the floor with them. And so when I preached at First Baptist the last time, one of the things I said is how amazing it is for me to be sitting in the pulpit, because years ago you would have made me sit in the balcony. That the black church had a theology that said, whosoever will, let them come. But what happened, I think, is that we got caught up in white Western European Anglo-American theology, and we wanted to copy them, and we are in a mess. So it used to be that a black pastor stood in his pulpit at a time like this and say, listen, as your pastor, I'm saying to you, go vote. And I want you to vote for the following people. I want you to vote for Biden. I want you to vote for Nicole Galloway, because everybody knows Michael Parsons is a Trump wannabe. And, you know, you could go down the line and say, vote for this person. Vote for Josh Devine. He's a Republican, but he's a good man. And vote for good people. But now, too many churches, black pastor gets in the pulpit and say, I want you to vote for X, Y, and Z, and they'll pull him and have a meeting and say, you know, a few of us have been talking, and pastor, we don't think you should be political in the pulpit. What? That's the job of the pastor, is to take care of the total needs of the congregation. But most pastors I know are in a fight for their pulpit every Sunday. If they say the wrong thing, man, they'll shout on Sunday, have a meeting on Wednesday. You got to go by Friday.
That's so true. It's sad. You know? It's sad, but it's true. Not trying to, you know, make a joke of it, but that is true. Because some,
now, I've been fortunate in all the churches I've been kicked out of, and I say that with glee, because what I didn't realize is the Lord was saying, you need to go. But I was hard-headed and I wanted to stay. So they said to me, a few of us have been talking, which is the code word for it's time to go. A few of us have been talking.
It's like when your wife say, we need to talk.
Yeah. So you know, it's a problem. You know, it's a problem. So, but the Lord has blessed me that every church I've left, I've received a severance package. Every church. And so I think that's because there were some people in the congregation who really loved me and wanted to make sure that that transition would be as financially smooth as possible. But I know a lot of pastors who never get a severance package. They'd be lucky if they get their last paycheck.
But, and that's why I was so upset with this farewell thing, because I didn't understand why would he get $10 million?
Yeah.
I know for as what I've always seen is that if the pastor left, he might get a check. But I didn't know that that was a severance package deal that comes with that. That's kind of mind-boggling to me, because, you know, I'm just looking at it from what I understood about what I knew about church. But then, you know, talking with you on the other side, on the other side of the spectrum, man, they just balling out.
Yeah, sure. So what, you know, what's happened is that a lot of times in the life of the church, we have started also to copy corporate America. So as CEOs leave their positions, even under scandalous kinds of activity, they still got a they still get a severance package, because that's the way corporate America works. And again, you and I both know that in the evolution of the church now, the other struggle that goes on in the Black church and church period is the fight between the Christian church and the corporate church. That if you want to stay a pastor in the church, an old guy told me, he said, listen, two things you must do. Keep the offering plate full and the baptismal pool wet. If you do those two things, you get to stay. If you don't do those, you've got to go. So it's, again, it's copying that corporate model. Now here's where I'm at. I don't think Jesus wants us to copy the corporate model. I think that God in Christ called us to be agents of reconciliation. And if we're going to be agents of reconciliation, we can't model the practices of the world and be in right relationship with God. When I was a boy, if somebody got hurt, the first thing they'd do is call the pastor. They call the pastor before they call the doctor. But now the pastor is just a clog in a wheel in many, many cases. Many cases.
So I used to hear that a lot in my late 20s, early 30s, that people would say, yeah, that transition went from, you know, call the pastor, have the pastor come check on this person, unless it's like really dramatic, like, you know, like they're on their deathbed or something really big happened.
Yeah. Like
normally it's like, well, he puts his pants on same way I put my pants on and all this stuff. And it's like, well, you're knocking down the blessing. And that kind of caused a little rift for me during that time frame in my life, because, you know, I'm believing in this word that I grew up in. And then at the same time, I'm becoming this man, or even just, you know, diving into it. And now I'm hearing conflicting things. So it conflicts you when you hear that. But, you know, I want to get back to this Liberty guy, because I want people to understand, like, that he did get that severance package. But the thing that with me is just like we was talking earlier, you know, this school, which is Liberty University, they have a certain standard, and and they're asking, like you said before, they're asking people to do, you know, certain things when they go to school there, but then you have this leader who's doing the complete opposite, and the embarrassment for not only the school, but the Christian community at the same time, because even though he may not have been a, you know, minister or anything, he still represented the Christian community.
Sure.
With his actions.
Sure. Well, it does two things, doesn't it? It reminds us that all of us are fallible. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the problem, and I'll say every mistake I ever made in my life, it was because I allowed my ego to get in the way. And when God elevates you, one of the things that's your biggest temptation is to fall prey to the seduction of your ego. A man in his position, when he went to speak, a limousine came to pick him up. He ate well, he drank well, he lived well. And if you're not careful, you'll let all of those things puff up your ego, so to say, well, I'm above what everybody else is. When in fact, the text tells us that we are to walk humbly before our God. And he forgot that. The second thing, though, I heard a woman from Southeastern Baptist Seminary say, in the midst of all this, we must remember to put our faith not in man, but in God. So while liberty, I think liberty is too strict, but that's a practice of Christianity they want to do. I don't judge that. But you know, they have to sign a promissory note, a promise, a covenant that they will not drink, that they will not smoke, that they will not engage in premarital sex. And yet the leadership made a mistake and violated the very principles in which the institution upholds. And so he got to go. And, you know, but again, we're copying the corporate model. He'll get a severance package. If President Choi is removed from the presidency at the University of Missouri, he'll get a severance package. On and on and on. And because that's the contractual relationship they have. When you go in, you sign a contract. And that contract has a clause in there for a severance package. What's amazing is that Liberty could give him a check for $10 million that day, which tells you how much money they have. So, yeah, it hurts the Christian community, but it ought to also remind us that we're all fallible. We all make a mistake. And then that it ought to make you more sensitive to the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. So, because even though we're all sinners saved by grace, somewhere along the line, we ought to learn something. You know, if you had a problem in the Hoochie Coochie Club, don't go to the Hoochie Coochie Club anymore if you've been changed. Not because you're better, but because you ought to learn something from past mistakes, right? And which is one of the things I love about Christianity, is that the Christianity I grew up with said that God always says, I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another chance.
Yeah,
I agree with you
with that, because that's the beauty of it. And that's why I like to tell my wife, you know, when you see secular artists come over there and do Christian music, gospel music, you know, I'm like, that word is alive, because the word says everything that has breath will praise the Lord. So if you look at the people's past and they're like, hey, you know, I'm, you know, getting it together here, here and here, there it is. And just like you said, you know, we all will fall short.
Sure.
You know, this guy, he did fall short. But, you know, and it's all about uplifting that word too, because, you know, seeing these things, seeing the unrest and seeing the shootings and the vigilantes in Wisconsin, and also seeing, you know, the Christian community take a hit, you know, with Liberty University, who has a prominent name in the Christian community. It's kind of one of the schools, if you go to it, you know, your path is pretty much set for as the Christian community.
Well, and one of our colleagues is a graduate of Liberty. Adrian Hendricks, who is now Dr. Hendricks, mm-hmm. Received his doctorate from Liberty. Yeah, so yeah, it has had a good reputation in the conservative Christian community. It's like Dallas Theological. You go to Dallas Theological, you're going to be one of my former students. Received his doctorate from Dallas, and he's doing quite well. So again, you're right. Those schools have a very good reputation within the conservative Christian community. And the other thing is, my brother, they will bounce back. Now, remember, because I was in Colorado Springs during the scandal of the president of the, the conservative movement. Remember, he was the one who came out against homosexuality, but he got caught with crystal meth and a homosexual lover. That church, he had to go, but that church still is 10,000-12,000 members. So my problem with the conservative church is that, okay, you can excuse those things and talk about some kind of Christian moral excellence, but you won't stand with me when I protest about the killing of George Floyd. See, I got a problem. Because if you say you're my brother, don't just be my brother and my sister in the good times, be my brother and my sister in the bad times. And quite frankly, it is dangerous to be black in America.
You said that right.
You know, I'm 66 years old, and quote, I'm beyond the stereotype of a scary black man. But I still get followed in Walmart. I live in a state that conceal and carry. I never know. I don't know if somebody in my neighborhood is like the McCloskeys, that they see a group of us walk by and come out and pull their weapons. I don't have the kinds of problems I used to have when I was younger with the police and being stopped, but I've still been stopped. Reverend David Ballinger was coming back from a church meeting at the crossing, and he got pulled over because he was black, it was night, and he's in a Mercedes, right? So all of a sudden, the police are like, oh, he must be a dope dealer. No, he's our pastor. So, yeah, it is scary. It is frightening. I heard the coach of the Clippers last night said it. My father, he told us that his father was a police officer. So he understands the life of the police. He said, but it's really hard to love a country that doesn't love me.
Yeah. Well, he also, in his story, I don't know if you heard this part, but he married a white lady back in the 80s, and house burned down, and they terrorized him a lot. So he really has a twofold side of this thing. But you're right. It is dangerous, and we all have had the things that have happened to us all. I know. Sure. When I had my Mercedes, man, I got pulled over just to, because the cops said, oh man, I really like your car. And I'm like, you don't really like my car. You trying to check something out. You just trying to figure out another way of want to see my car.
But
cause you're thinking I got something else going on, and you know, but I just, you know, thank God I was in what the profession I was in, I kind of knew what I could and couldn't do. But a lot of us really don't know what you can and can't do.
Out
here on the streets, you just don't know. You just like, oh, you know what, just let them do what they want to do so you can get on, move on, and or you know, get upset with them because you're like, why are you bothering me because I'm not doing anything. And
right, well, it's because of this mindset, I think, with too many police officers, that authority and power makes right. And if I already have a mindset that black folks are the enemy, then I'll shoot you in the back 7 times. You know, he has allegedly there was a knife under the front seat. I'm talking about Mr. Blake. Okay. But at the same time, you pass this kid, 17 years old, who has an automatic weapon and don't think anything. So for a long time, we've realized we live in two Americas. There's an America with law and order for white people, and then there's a law for the rest of us. And I mean all the rest of us. If you're Latino, I've had several Latino students who testify that they've been stopped here in Colombia simply because they're Latino. I had a student who was African and she just disappeared. ICE came and took her whole family in the middle of the night and she's gone. And no one knows where she is. So if you are black and brown and poor in America, it's a whole different ballgame.
It is a whole different ballgame.
So, you know, some of my conservative Christian friends, white, say, well, why are you all so angry? Really? Really? Baby, you don't know why I'm angry? I'm just trying to keep it under wraps, keep it cool. But if you lived in my world one day, you go crazy. Which says something about being Black and being Christian in America. If you could be Black and Christian in America and not walk around with your eyes wide shut, you see it, you feel it, you experience the pain and still keep your faith, you, as the old song say, you shall wear a crown. Because, you know, the hip-hop, you know, I still like secular music, man. I confess. I still listen to this stuff, you know, but it make you want to say, don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
I'm trying not to lose my head.
Yeah.
Hey, man. You know what? I want to keep calling you Bishop.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you. I've been called much worse.
Well, you know, every time I get with you, I just sit down because, I mean, you just stoke all this information, and I just love talking with you, and I'm so glad we had you get you on the show today, because I think the information that we talked about is really empowering, not only to get some of this information out, but also uplifts the Christian community, because, you know, I'm thinking about my cousins who I've had conversations with, and they're like, man, I don't even want to hear it. You know, man, it's crazy, man. All y'all want, you know, Christians, man, y'all just want to talk about, you know, this and that. But, man, this stuff is real. And it's like, yeah, I it's real, yes. And I get it. Yeah. You feel the same pain you feel. But you also got to realize that this word is still alive. Because people are going to make mistakes. And then God is in the midst of something bigger happening. And, you know, and I, like I told them once, you know, I know even though during the 60s, during the civil rights movement, I'm sure people was like, I'm sick and tired and fed up. But at the same time, it was still God in the midst of making things move in somewhat of a good direction. Now, you know, they're going to figure out their ways of suppressing and keeping the way things, the way they want it to be, the status quo, because it's comfortable for them.
Yeah.
But as we continue to move forward and these changes begin to happen, we're going to see more crazy things. And that's why that's been my platform. We're going to see more crazy things because people, it doesn't matter who you are. Once change begin to happen, people have a hard time dealing with it.
The other thing, Doc, is that we are seeing change happen. This country is going through a cultural shift. In the days of the marches with Martin, or the protests with the Nation of Islam under Malcolm, those protests, those demonstrations were majority Black. Now, there were some, particularly with Martin, there were some white people who participated, whether they were freedom riders or in the sit-ins, or yes, there were. I've been working with the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Columbia, and one of the things we talked about was the number of white Unitarian Universalist pastors that were killed during the march in Selma, Montgomery, etc. But never before have we seen so many young white folks in the protests that have happened since George Floyd and the killing of Breonna Taylor and Aubrey and on, that those demonstrations are not just all Black. They're Black, they're white, they're Latino, they are indigenous, Native Americans. And there's a shift happening. And see, the songs I used to grow up with still resonate with me, right? The Lord moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to behold. We kind of wanted it to be Black Christian folk leading the movement for justice. But it's all kinds of folk. Folk that don't go to church, but have a huge respect for justice and are sick and tired of the injustices that are happening in this country. God can use anybody God want to use. If God can use a jackass, Balaam's ass, right, to speak God's word, God can use anybody God want to use. And I think one of the challenges of the Christian community is, can we work with folk who don't look like, act like, speak like us for the good of justice and the good of the kingdom? Or must they all say what we say in order to be our partners in creating the fundamentally new? That's a big challenge, man, because most of our churches will tell folks, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. And they say to us, wait a minute, we in hell already. Can't we try to establish something different together? And that's going to be a real challenge, man. So, in a conversation I had with the Unitarians, because this summer I've been working with them as philosopher in residence. And one of the things they said to me was, you know, maybe one of the ways we can establish a real sense of racial justice in Colombia is joining in with a Black church and working together toward justice issues. I said, that's great. Wonderful. But you sure you want to do that? Because Pookie going to show up. And Pookie going to say MF every other word. Can you work with Pookie? Or how about Shaquika? Shaquika got 9 kids, 10 different daddies, but she's about justice. Can you work with her? Because Unitarian Universalists, not all of them are Christian. Not all of them believe in God. I've got one cat who we've gotten really close. He's a pagan. And I told one of my Christian friends he was pagan. He was like, wait a minute, he's a pagan? He got devils and stuff, right? But here we go. The challenge on the other side for the Christian church is, can we work with people who don't look like, act like us for the good of the kingdom?
You know what? That's a straight talk topic for another day. I'm going to have to hold on to that one because I'm going to get you back on for that one, because I think that's one we got to dive into, because can we do that?
Yeah,
because we do have, especially in African-American churches, we do have a strict policy. Like you said, liberty's strict. I tell you, we got a strict policy to, well, you have to hit these check marks if you can have us deal with you. Especially in the Black church, because they'll leave you as soon as you say, as soon as you don't believe in one of these check marks, you're done. We're done with you. It's no need in talking to you. You know, but how are we going to get to where we need to be so everybody's lives is better, especially because we are Christians at the end of the day. And this is what Jesus will want. This is what God wants us all to have. He don't want us to have all this money. He just wants us to be able to love on each other and just treat each other right. Treat your brother the correct way. You know, how can you love a brother that you see every day and say, you know, how do you not love a brother you see every day and say you love me who you never seen? You know, so that is something that we have to deal with. And until we're able to have that conversation, I think it's going to be, we got a long road ahead.
Well, my hope, though, is that I'm watching it happen on a smaller level. They're not getting the press. They're not on national television, but there are groups of Christian people who have said two things. First of all, they've changed their prayer. They're no longer praying for God to change a system that we put together. Now they're praying, God, give me the wisdom and the strength to change what I've messed up. Capitalism, we created that, man. Mm-hmm. And the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
Poor. Yeah.
And do we need God to change it? Or has God already put the rod in our hand and said, Moses, the power is in your hand? The second thing is, They're no longer asking, are you a Christian? What they're asking is, can I trust you? Can I trust that when you get in, I said this to the Rotary Club, I said, my question to you is, can I trust you? When you are out here at the country club in an all-white setting and someone talks about, you know, those black folks just want a handout, can I trust you to stand in that space and speak truth to power? Because if I can't trust you, I don't care if you're a Christian or not. And I think we're starting to see, I'm hoping, that we're starting to see a real shift, man, that Christianity no longer is about what we say, it's about what we do.
Well, that's it right there. That's the straight talk for this week. We'll see y'all next week. I'm going to hold it off right there at the end right there, and I ain't going to say another word about it, man. We're going to get on out of here, man, and we'll see. We'll hit some more of this topic with C.W. Dawson, man. We got to get you back on this show, man, because this stuff that you're dropping, this knowledge that you're dropping is deep. It's deep.
Thank you, man. Thank you. We appreciate it. Again, I appreciate you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time out your busy schedule. I know you got a whole lot of things going on in your world. So
yeah, man.
Let me get back to it.
Yeah. Thank you again. You have a blessed day, man. And thank you for your ministry in this community.
Brother's name was George, and he walked into the store because his money was low. They called him a criminal, and they called authorities. They put handcuffs on me, and when I tried to explain, they responded with the knee. I can't breathe. Your hate is choking the life out of me. They're supposed to be the land of the free. Look at me, I can't breathe. Whoa, whoa. And I know I'm a strong black man, but please don't be afraid of what you see. Just like you, I'm trying to raise my family. Remove your knee. Cause I can't breathe. And we demand a change. We demand it right now. And the blood of the innocent is crying from the ground. 400 years of slavery, clinging to a dream. When will reparations come? When will freedom ring? Can't breathe. Oh, your hatred is choking the life out of me. They're supposed to be the land of the free, but look at me. I can't breathe.
That's it for today's show. You listen to that deep new DJ Head, and I can't breathe. Man, this show is one powerful show. And if you miss any parts of it, please go get the podcast. Podcast be available as soon as this show is over. I thank God for being able to have this podcast. This is a very, very, very in-depth, informative show. Information that we're going to continue to get out to you. And again, we have, it's another topic that CW talked about that I'm going to make sure that we get into it also, because there's some things going on in our community, the Christian community, that we just need to bring up and talk about, and really talk about it, and not play around with it, because it can smother us to where we can't breathe. And then, are we really doing the will of God? That's the question that's coming up. So, I'll see y'all next week. Y'all be good. We're going to move on with Malachi Music and with Jonathan McReynolds and Malachi Music. Peace.
I'm closing chapters. I'm turning pages. baby. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm getting older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare to what God will do with my life. And I am forgetting what's behind me. I have finally decided I'll be moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on.
My mother told me, she told me well,
forget your failures. Woo. And forgive yourself. I'm moving on.
I'm moving on.
Hey,
I'm moving on.
Hey,
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 hey.
You listen to the Straight Talk Podcast with your boy, Ricardo Montgomery.